Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. There seems to be a deal on the table that would avoid a government shutdown. The president wanted more money for a southern border barrier, $5.7 billion. It's said that he'll only get $1.4 billion for border barriers, about one quarter of the money he's demanded. But the deal is expected to go through. Meanwhile, President Trump and the president of Colombia met at the White House today, the two leaders discussing the crisis in Venezuela. A former U.S. Air Force counterintelligence specialist who defected to Iran has been charged with revealing classified info to the Tehran government, including the code name and secret mission of a Pentagon program. The Justice Department says Monica Witt defected in 2013 after attending a conference in Iran aimed at condemning American moral standards. On Wall Street, stocks are higher, the Dow up 104 points, the NASDAQ ahead 22.
Plan on a very rainy day today. Our high will be 64 degrees. This evening, no rain is expected, partly cloudy, and a low around 40. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, no rain expected tomorrow, and our high will be 72.
Hey folks, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy Doug McCary this Wednesday afternoon. I call it SWAT Day, Doug. You know, Wednesday, kind of the day we kick off SWAT Bible studies, and had one this morning, one at lunch. You got another one tonight.
Yeah.
So
it was really good this morning. We had 30 guys, and then we had 27 for lunch today, and some new guys in there and guys that hadn't been in a while. We had some guys on the road, and we always miss the guys when they're not there, but was glad that we did have a good group. And it's great stuff because it's the Word.
Exactly.
And when the Word of God is going forth, it is just, it's awesome to work through. And again, learning new stuff. I was talking to a guy, one of our buddies from Chick-fil-A out at the beach, Dave Warner, who's a pastor and teacher, and he was telling me about a guy we quote a lot or talk about a lot, Johnny Mack, out in California. Mm-hmm. 50 years in ministry.
It's amazing.
And said he read something last week he had never seen. 50 years he's been preaching and teaching through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, probably living, somebody who's probably devoted more time to expository preaching than him.
I don't either. R.C. Sproul was one who came to mind. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, he and Johnny Mack were good buddies. John, you know, R.C. passed away last year.
Yeah,
but you know, when you see the fruit, obviously this week, what we're studying and kind of looking back over my notes on Monday, we were talking about this idea of purpose. What is our purpose? Well, ultimately, our purpose is to glorify God, and we glorify God by bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I look at pastors, John MacArthur is probably one of my, staples, or has been a staple in my ear for the last 35 years, probably.
Yeah, he is really, you know, he's been putting out tapes and books and mm-hmm. stuff to kind of get the truth out there. And, the name of his ministry is called Grace to You.
Grace to You.
And he's probably been one of the top 10 biblical influences in my life of pointing me to the Word, making me want to get in the Word. Mm. I remember back a long time ago, he wrote a book called Charismatic Chaos,
and
really made me want to get in and study what the Word said. And so
Plumb the depths
But I just
scripture.
Thought it was interesting. He said,
yeah, what was it he said?
He said that he read something new for the first time in Scripture, and he's been studying it and teaching it for 50 years.
Doesn't that encourage you, though?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, you probably remember this. Our old buddy Harold Davis, who was a regular at our Sergeant Davis, who was one of our regulars at the Tuesday Bible study, died about 2 years ago at 99, I think it was. And every time I would teach over on the west side, he would have an envelope prepared for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you had the same thing. And he'd hand you that envelope as you mm-hmm. finished. And inside that envelope was basically a cassette tape of a John MacArthur message, mm-hmm. along with a transcript, usually of some kind. Mm-hmm. And
so, he always did that every time we did. Isn't that great how he did that?
I mean, I've got cassette tapes. Anybody have any cassette tapes out there? You know, I mean, they're probably worth something now.
Do you have an 8-track? Do you even know what an 8-track is?
Oh, yeah.
That was wild. Hey, have you been following, are you aware of what's been going on with Chris Pratt? Do you know who Chris Pratt is?
I do, yep.
The mm-hmm. actor who was in the movie Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he's in an upcoming animated movie, his voice. Anyway, he made headlines in Hollywood when he talked about his faith and how important his faith was and how it kind of helped him. He went through apparently a painful divorce with his wife. Don't know if he was a person of faith before that or not. He didn't allude to that. But certainly afterwards, he had this encounter or reconnection with God, whatever. And he's been very vocal. Well, he caught some backlash from a young lady who was a lesbian and said that it's a bigoted, hated thing to be going to a church. He goes to a Hillsong church.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, not a big fan of those, but that's okay.
Sure.
It's not terrible. I like some of the music they do, but the churches can sometimes, I think, be a little off doctrinally. But the fact is he's going to a place where he's wanting to learn about the Lord. And he just came out and said, you know, anybody can come. Anybody can come. It's open. And I just thought it was interesting. He's getting in this back and forth. He's really not, he's being pretty bold about proclaiming his faith, probably more bold than a lot of people are, because mm-hmm. a lot of us kind of are afraid to talk about that, you know. And the issue really for her was she thinks that it's wrong for him to be going to a church. Remember, we talked about this the other day.
Well, this is what she said. She said, if you are a famous actor and you belong to an organization that hates a certain group of people, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if someone simply wonders why it's not addressed. Being anti-LGBTQ is wrong. Mm-hmm. There aren't two sides. The damage it causes is severe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, full stop. Sending love to all. Come on.
Well,
I mean, they immediately think because we don't agree with that lifestyle that it's hate.
Mm-hmm. And here's the problem. Did you listen to the briefing today?
I didn't. No.
Right. So it's oddly enough, he deals with this article that was written today, and let's see where it was written. Because he usually quotes the USA Today or Times or Wall Street Journal. So it was in the USA Today. A guy named Jorge Ortiz wrote "The Sobering Reality." This is the title of the article. LGBT progress report shows gains, but most states still won't grant rights. That's the title of the article.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is the other night I was watching a news program, and you had a lesbian who was thrown out of New Jersey or New York, some kind of committee meeting, may have been Pennsylvania, it was somewhere in the Northeast. She was thrown out because she said, hey, even though this person's transgender, that she spoke out against it was a transgender female, which means it was a man who was saying he felt like a woman, who was convicted over in London. And this man was convicted, thrown, and he demanded to be put in a female prison where he raped three female prisoners. And what her point was is there are a lot of people who are sexual predators, males who want to rape or abuse females, who will use that loophole and say they're transgender and play upon the political correctness of our culture. And she said it's wrong. She said, biologically, he's still a man. He's not gone through transition. And even when he goes through transition, he's still a man. He still has the DNA of a man. And I just thought it was interesting that she is, and she got booted off a committee because of making that statement. And she's part of that group.
Exactly.
Then I think about that. They were, because they said her statements were bigoted and not, and were hateful, really. Now that's, think about this. I mean, this is where we've come. And so what Mueller was talking about in this particular article that was in USA Today, he's saying that the LGBTQ RST community wants, what they want is equal rights. And for them, what equal rights looks like is that if you have a Christian daycare center, you can't discriminate against having a person who is homosexual be a teacher in that Christian daycare center or that Christian school or that church. It's already happening in Canada where people are appealing and winning these cases. In fact, it's considered hate speech to even preach. And remember, we talked about that law in Nebraska that they're looking to try. But anyway, in this report in the USA Today, it revealed a 17 states in the District of Columbia. It was a record 17 states in the District of Columbia earned top rating of basically equality and the way they handled that issue. That's an increase of 4 states over last year and double from 2014. So what's going on? That still leaves 33 states that they're trying to win over in this equality. And listen, here are the states that are highest rated in the category of equality. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. Think that that's... Brad, I mean, and then that's the top category of equality. The four states in the middle are Hawaii, Iowa,
boy, Maryland, middle America,
yeah, right Maryland there. And New Hampshire. And so, unfortunately, in Florida, we're considered in the lowest category, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. That's Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Atkinson. Atkinson?
Yeah.
What is that, a typo? Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky.
Yeah, it's a typo.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad Florida's in that category there.
Well, the bottom line for us is, as believers, we need to be praying for our country, praying for our leaders, praying for people to stand up for truth. In fact, we need to be warriors for truth. That's what SWAT stands for, spiritual warriors. Advancing truth. And we do not have to buy into the political correctness. And we can be speakers of truth without being hateful. We can be speakers. Don't be cowed into believing that. Don't be put down into believing that just because you speak what God's word says, it's hateful. It's not.
Well, I mean, I think that's what bothers most of us is that I have gay friends.
Yeah.
Love them dearly, but they know where I stand. And we've had those conversations. And so, anyway. Hey,
What's interesting are the people that are like that, that we know, that have that lifestyle, they're not part of these fringe. So
Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Yeah. Hey, we'll be right back. SWAT Radio, glad you joined us.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
In this war, I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you. This is the sound of chains breaking. This is the beat of a heart changing. This is the song of a soul forgiving.
Man, I hate to insert myself right there in the middle of that song.
Isn't
that is
awesome?
Awesome.
That have you ever
is
heard that?
Awesome. I have heard that, and I can't remember who it is.
It's Austin French.
It's beautiful.
And it's a great song, and I just want to say the words again. He goes, I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you. This is the sound of chains breaking. This is the beat of a heart changing. Hmm. This is the song of a soul forgiven. This is my freedom hymn.
And, beautiful song.
And, you know, there, if you're listening to this, you know, I don't know. Brad and I were talking about the whole LGBT thing. And, you know, these are real people who are walking in disobedience to God. When people are making those choices, they are walking in disobedience to God's design and his will for us to be monogamous, married, and in a family. Now, there are some people who are blessed with a gift of celibacy. Those people, are normally few and far between, but there are some who are called to a life of singleness to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not in that category, then his plan is to marry, to reproduce the faith community. And to go outside of that design, for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman, is right out of Romans 1, against his will. And it says it comes about because people suppress the knowledge of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I hear that freedom hymn, whether it's my sin that I've dealt with, or your sin, Brad, you've dealt with, or that person who is an LGBT person, mm-hmm. the sin they deal with, we all are sinful people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's beautiful to believe that the God of all creation pursued us and said, you know what? We're never going to be free without him. And we can never be who he designed us to be without him. But the chains can be broken, contrary to what different lawmakers
right.
want to make.
Right.
The chains can be broken of any sin.
Amen.
And your heart can be changed, like he said. You can be forgiven because of Jesus. And that's why we do what we do.
That's exactly why we do. And I think, Doug, I am certain there are people listening to us right now who either may struggle in this area or know somebody who struggles in this area. And the reality is, listen, we can be freed from this. And I went into the break, I quoted Romans 12:2, Paul writing to those in Rome. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You don't know what his will is. You don't know what is perfect and what is acceptable unless you are in his word. And let me just say this. I do this every day. You know, if you are not in a Bible study, please get in one. You know, it doesn't have to be a SWAT Bible study. We highly encourage men. If you're not in a men's Bible study, we've got five of them that meet around town. One that met this morning at 6:30 out in Ponte Vedra. We had one that met at lunch today here at the Salem Center, Bonneville Road. That's JTB Phillips Highway area. We have another one meeting this evening at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Doug? 7 o'clock, Eastside Community Church on Beach Boulevard. There's another one meeting tomorrow morning at 6:30 at Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods. And then there's a final one on Friday that's out in St. Augustine. So we just want to encourage you, Doug. We've seen God bring more men into these studies week after week after week. That's encouraging.
It is.
And again, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to come. Just come. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have a Bible for you.
No, we have lots of guys that are just learning.
Sure.
And we have guys that have spent their life in it. So you have this wide range, and it's really cool because you'll see the young guys in the faith talking to some of these older guys. Mm. And that's what's great. You get these conversations going. And hey, I wanted to remind our listeners that tomorrow we're going to have I'm blank. No, I know we're going to have Brian Doyle.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah,
yes.
We're going to be talking Bob. We're going to have Bob from Iron Sharpens Iron, and Bob's going to be our guest tomorrow, along with Brian Doyle. Brian Doyle used to be with Promise Keepers, and he actually started Iron Sharpens Iron to kind of help fill the void for where Promise Keepers was. And then Bob Grauman is from Mandarin Presbyterian Church, and Bob helped him start it.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob's going to be on here the first half hour talking about his story, and then introducing Brian Doyle. And then Brian's got a powerful story too that he's going to share tomorrow. His wife passed away last year, and just walking through that. They've been married a long time in the ministry, and yet he is continuing to do Iron Sharpens Iron and has a great ministry there. And so you want to tune in tomorrow. That conference is March 2nd. We've already got 44 guys signed up for that. And they're expecting between 300 and 400 men to be at this. And it's three keynote speakers in a variety of different breakout sessions that have to deal with everything from God's word relating to your family, as a leader and shepherding, to God's word relating to your marriage.
It's an all-day deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, just treat it like it's a day out on the golf course or something.
Yeah, eight to five, and it is going to be a really good event at Mandarin Presbyterian Church. And then there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. One of our SWAT guys informed me there is this thing for all you warriors out there called Swamp Battle OCR. And Swamp Battle OCR is a thing. It's an obstacle course that's put on by Trinity Fitness. We've had the Trinity Fitness guy come to one of our SWAT meetings, and
we need to get him on.
Yeah, Trinity Fitness is a CrossFit program here in Jacksonville that meets in several locations. The one of them, the director, is a guy named Greg Coleman, anyway, if you go to Trinity Fitness, I think they have a website,
they do.
Brad. Mm-hmm. Is it trinityfitness.org? Yeah,
let me check
see
it
if you
out
can find
here.
It out. Anyway, what they're doing, this event is going to be on May 18th, so you got time to train for it. It's a 3-mile long run with 30 or so obstacles of all different levels. So actually, we've been challenged to put a link, not a link, we've been challenged to put a team together from each of the SWAT groups that mm-hmm. will do this. It's a 3-mile run with obstacles. So
that is trinityfitness.org.
Yeah.
They've got, I think, 3 different gyms mm-hmm. that you can work out at. By the way, I don't want to say it's free, but there are no memberships.
Yeah.
It is a
Ever been to it?
Oh, yeah. It's a nonprofit, and they survive on contributions, on donations. Mm-hmm. And so, but it is a, they are truly devoted to Jesus Christ. They pray before and after workouts. And so, listen, if you're not a member of a gym, we should keep these temples in good shape. And let me encourage you to go check it out, Trinity Fitness.
Yeah, there's one on Bowden and Phillips, one on US 1 near Nice High School, and then there's one at 8 a.m. on Saturdays at Riverside Trinity Fitness. So go to their website, and just wanted to give you a heads up about that event coming up in May. Maybe we'll get him on, Greg Coleman on here before that. And then one final thing about SWAT, Brad. You know, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. We've been talking about being a warrior, talked about a warrior run there. We've mm-hmm. been talking about the need for truth out in our world. And the starting point for all this is God's Word. And we are living in a time where there's a lot of biblical illiteracy. And one of the guys came up after the SWAT meeting last week, and he said, wow. He goes, my soul felt fed. And I said, well, it's just the Word of God. You know, there's something about getting God's Word into you mm-hmm. that feeds us. And a friend told me one time, in the morning, he had a rule, no Bible, no breakfast. He wanted his spiritual food before his physical food. And you know, I think for most of us, it's real easy to push the Bible outside of your schedule when you get pushed into a bind. And you got to remember, would you go out of the house without looking in a mirror in the morning? Would you ever do that? Most of us, we get up, we get dressed, we look in a mirror.
If you have good hair like I do.
Yeah. So the whole deal, Brad, is that the Bible is a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And every day we need to look in that mirror and look in the depths of our own soul and say, am I yielding my life to God today? Is it His day or my day? Am I going to be listening to Him? Am I going to be responsive to Him? Because it's His world, because I'm His. So I do what He wants me to do. And if we don't have that kind of attitude, and it's easy for us to get out of that attitude, we are reminded, we say, God, I'm sorry. I was so busy. I didn't take time to pray. I didn't take time to read. Mm. And so that's why we do what we do. And that's why we're on the radio every day. We want people to know this is about practical and relevant biblical teaching, taking what we read and what we're talking this week about Matthew 21, Jesus coming down the donkey, down the mountain on a donkey, the triumphal entry, the turning of the tables in the temple. It's the last week. And when we come back, we're going to look at what it means to turn from selfish rebellion and self-righteousness. We go down one of those two paths, Brad, mm-hmm. all the time. In our sin nature, we either are selfishly rebellious for pleasure, for power or whatever, or we're self-righteous that we don't do those things.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
hey, listen, glad you joined us today. Again, we'll talk more about the Bible studies if you're not plugged in. Man, we'd love to have you join us. And if you want to call this afternoon, we'd love to hear from you, 904-401-1413. You can also call us toll-free at 1-844-777-7928. You may have a question for us, and if you do, send that to ask@swatradio.com, and we'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Trump is criticizing Venezuela's disputed leader for refusing humanitarian aid. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
During talks in the Oval Office, President Trump discussed the Venezuela situation with the visiting president of Colombia.
I think there are a number of solutions, a number of different options.
He also criticized Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro for trying to block the delivery of humanitarian aid from the U.S. and other countries.
It just shows what can happen with the wrong government. You have the wrong government, bad things happen.
The U.S. and other nations want Maduro to step down and have recognized opposition leader Juan Guaido as Venezuela's rightful leader. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Also at townhall.com, in Texas, Wise County Sheriff Lane Aiken tells KDFW a man and woman are in custody. That's after deputies responding to a domestic dispute discovered four children, ages 1 through 5, living in deplorable conditions.
The youngest ones appeared to be malnourished and were unclothed. Their two older children were locked inside a dog kennel.
Sheriff's deputies arrested the pair after finding three boys, ages 5, 3, and 1, and a 4-year-old girl at a property near Rome. That's about 20 miles north of Fort Worth. There seems to be a deal on the table that would avoid a government shutdown. The president wanted more money for a southern border barrier, $5.7 billion. It's said that he'll only get $1.4 billion for border barriers. That's about 1/4 of the money that he demanded. A former U.S. Air Force counterintelligence specialist who defected to Iran has been charged with revealing classified info to the Tehran government, including the code name and secret mission of a Pentagon program. The Justice Department says Monica Witt defected in 2013 after attending a conference in Iran. On Wall Street, stocks are higher, the Dow up 145 points, the NASDAQ ahead 29.
Near downtown, you're seeing some delays because of a crash on I-95 on the northbound ramp to the exit at I-10. Also, there's a disabled vehicle on I-10 on the westbound ramp from Hammond Boulevard. Another disabled vehicle in St. Johns County on I-95 heading north before County Road 210. Becoming mostly clear and cold tonight, low 39. Thursday, sunny with a high 67.
From our grave. I should be dead right now, but I'm alive.
Taking us to the shouting ground. What are we shouting about?
Oh, Jesus. Come on now.
Yeah. The Sunday school answer, Jesus, he's always right, right?
Exactly.
You know, this...
By the way, that was David Crowder, if you're ever interested. You know, I've got some of my kids who really like some good rock and roll type sounds.
Rock and roll.
David Crowder can definitely deliver on that, but his theology is pretty solid.
Yeah, he is. He's been around a while.
He has. He absolutely has.
Well, you know, one of the things that we should shout about is the fact that Messiah has come. Now, for most people in America, Messiah doesn't mean much to us.
Yeah.
When we hear the word Messiah, I mean, we think about it in a general sense, but the Jewish people were looking for Messiah. They had been waiting for a long time. In fact, there had been silence from God for 400 years. And then John the Baptist pops up and starts talking about the one who would come, mm-hmm. whose shoes he's not worthy to untie, whose sandals he's not worthy to untie. And we looked at last week, 173,880 days from the time Daniel prophesied in Daniel 9 about Messiah coming, from the going out of the word to rebuild the temple by Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel, 173,880 days to the day, Nisan 10, Monday of 33 year March. The month of March, 10 Nisan, is the year 33. Jesus came riding that donkey down the hill on the Mount of Olives that you walked down, Brad. You walked down that hill.
I have such a good picture of that time. And, of course, at the bottom of that hill is the Garden of Gethsemane.
The Kidron Valley.
In fact, Bethpage is back behind you. You know, it's before, we didn't go there, but it's kind of on that hill, the backside of that hill.
And Bethany's back there as well. And so as Jesus was staying at Bethany, he came and went down the Mount of Olives on this donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And we read earlier in this week from Zechariah 11, where it's a judgment against the three shepherds, that basically he's getting rid of the three shepherds who were the priests, the prophets, and the scribes in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's the priest, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, the scribes, those people he's getting rid of, because he basically says that, like a fig tree, you know, that's supposed to produce fruit is useless if it's not. Israel has become useless. Mm-hmm. And he used that earlier. We talked about that Monday, about his cursing of the fig tree was an illustration to the disciples of no fruit equals no faith, no faith equals no future. And then he goes into the temple again to teach on Wednesday. Remember, he went in on Tuesday, cursed the fig tree, flipped the tables. Then he goes back to Bethany after that, goes back to a cleansed temple, at least partially cleansed, on Wednesday, and he's teaching. The disciples see the fig tree withered, and that's when they get in that discussion. And he takes them back to Zechariah 4 when he talks about the mountain. Hey, if you say to this mountain, be thrown in the sea, it will. He, in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7, when Zerubbabel is encountering opposition in building the temple, the prophet Zechariah, God said through that prophet to Zerubbabel, hey, you know what? Not by might, not by your power or strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You can say to this mountain, be flattened, and it'll be flattened. Who are you, O mountain, O opposition? And what he's telling his disciples is they don't have to fear man. They don't do it in their own strength. They don't produce fruit in their own strength. They don't wither a tree. God does that. Yeah. God is the one behind that. And so then he goes into the temple to teach. And as he goes in to teach, the Pharisees go, this is a day later.
After he's turned the tables over, after he's, you know.
A day after he's done that. Because the day of, nobody said anything to him. But the next day they said, hey, who gave you authority to do this? And we talked about yesterday his absolute authority in our life and how we a lot of times only give him partial authority or what we call potential authority, not realized authority. And so then, in dealing with the Pharisees, he goes to this series of three parables. They're all connected. We're only going to get into one this week. Next week, we're going to look at another one. Then the following week, we'll look at the third one. But today, we want to get into this parable about the two sons. And so this is a response to the Pharisees who have asked him, who gave you this authority? And he asked them a question about John the Baptist. And he says, I'm not going to answer you. But then he tells them the story. Mm-hmm. And in the story, remember in the East, when people wanted to confront you about something going on in your life that was bad or something that they had a problem with, they would tell you stories. They didn't just come out and say, hey, Brad, listen, you're rejecting me. Mm-hmm. They would tell you a story about somebody rejecting.
And you'd find yourself in that story.
That's right. And so in this passage today, we're going to look at these last verses, and we're going to look at 28 through 32, the story of two sons. And it's the first parable that Jesus tells to deal with the whole thing of rejection from the Pharisees. And so, Brad, if you'll read 28 through 32 and start off there with the story of the two sons.
Yeah. Verse 28, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir, but did not go." Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him."
Hmm. Now, in this parable, it's very short, but it's obvious that when Jesus is speaking, remember, the listeners are trying to figure out who they are. Now, they know they're not the Father. The Father's who?
God.
Yeah, it's God. And the two sons are going to be his servants. They're going to be the people that there's two people contrasted here to the gospel and how they deal with the gospel message. That one is going to receive it. One's going to reject it. And how do they demonstrate that? By obedience. Obedience always indicates belief. All right. Now, this isn't to say that you're not going to have mistakes, or you're not going to make mistakes in your life. The issue is not your mistakes. The issue is your ultimate loyalty. Where does your ultimate loyalty lie? Because he's saying that a man had two sons. He went to the first, he said, "Go," and he said, "Okay, I'm going to go." And he didn't. You know, the first one said he wouldn't, and he ended up doing it. The second one said he would and didn't. So in this story, you've got these two sons, and he asked them to get them to say which one is righteous. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it.
Not about what you say. It's about what you do.
Yeah, and he's asking them, so they're having to admit that the son who said he was going to do it but didn't was in the wrong. And in that story, they're listening. They know who he's talking about. Mm-hmm. They know that he's indicating them, you know. And then he goes back to John the Baptist. Now, what's interesting is that, remember, he had asked them about John the Baptist previously in that last little paragraph we talked about. And so he said, you know, when John the Baptist came in the way of righteousness, he's talking about the preaching of the word. He said, the tax collectors and the prostitutes heard it and they turned. They repented. And they repented and had belief. And how do we know they had belief? Because their lives were changed. Because he said at the end, and even when you saw it, you didn't change. What did they see? They saw belief in the tax collectors and the Pharisees. You see, there was a visible manifestation of a changed life, just like you heard in that song that David Crowder was singing. Mm-hmm. My life was this way, but I'm shouting out something different now.
Yes.
What is the name of it?
Shouting Grounds.
Yes. Yeah. I'm shouting. My life is shouting something.
Well, it's the picture, really. It's a picture of a grave. You're coming up out of the grave. As a man born again, you're a new man. You're a new creature in Christ. Now shout.
Yeah.
You know, and yet very few of us shout.
Yeah. And I think one of the big problems and the reason we don't shout is because you don't shout if you don't believe or you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just are shouting, I mean, the point in this story is that it's not just saying you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The best is to say it and do it. In this case, you've got two sons. One said he wouldn't and did it, and the other one said he would and didn't. Ideally, what you want is somebody who says it and does it, right?
Yeah.
You want the shouter to actually be somebody who's living it out. And Jesus, basically, he is saying to the Pharisees, you guys, the tax collectors, the dregs of our culture, the tax collectors and prostitutes, they heard John preach and they responded. They repented. And when we come back, I want us to talk about repentance a little bit and then take a couple of practical applications to walk away from what this really can help us with.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for tuning in today. Who are you in that story? You know, are you the one who said, I'm going and then don't, or the one who said no and then you did?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, glad you joined us. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Wednesday afternoon. By the way, if you want to call, we'd love to hear from you. 904-401-1413. You can call toll-free at 1-844-777-SWAT. That's 1-844-777-7928. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Send that to ask@swatradio.com. And Doug, you know, this idea of repentance, this is a tough topic for a lot of people. I was just, you know, I love good quotes, but John Calvin said, can true repentance exist without faith? By no means. But although they cannot be separated, they ought to be distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was good.
Well, here's the thing. In this story, when we read about the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they responded right. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Jesus said, who did right, they got the answer right. So they knew the truth. They just didn't apply the truth. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in churches every week who hear truth, and they don't apply it when they walk out the door. And here's the principle for us today. God calls us to turn from our selfish rebellion. Why do we not apply truth, Brad?
We're selfish. We don't want to give up.
Exactly.
We don't want to give up what's being demanded.
All right. That's one reason. Or the other reason is we're self-righteous and we don't think we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two things. So we're either selfishly rebellious or we are self-righteous and don't believe. We don't turn from our selfish rebellion and self-righteous to repent and believe. Now, in Luke 13... there were some people there talking to Jesus, and they said, there were some people there in 13 verse 1. There were people present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And so these people are complaining to Jesus about Pilate and his brutality. And Jesus said, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered? Because in that culture, if you suffered, it usually meant it was God's punishment on you.
Right.
He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed him. In other words, there was a tower that had fallen and killed people. He says, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then over in Luke chapter 10, he says, woe to you, Chorazin, you've been in Chorazin. Uh-huh. Woe to you, Bethsaida, you've been there. He goes, if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. You've been there. It's ruins.
Mm-hmm. Total shambles.
There's nothing there because he cursed it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He cursed it. And so one other place real quick over in Luke 11, in Luke 11, over in verse 32, he says this. He says, the men of Nineveh, remember those guys from back in the book of Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation, and they will condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and something greater than Jonah is here. Either I'm here. These leaders, Brad, heard Jesus tell this story of the sons. And they acknowledged the one who said they would and didn't do it were the ones in the wrong. But they didn't take responsibility and repent and believe in him as Messiah. And ultimately, our words don't demonstrate our faith. Our actions do. And the ultimate act of obedience is submission to Christ. That's the if you do not submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's two sides of one coin, that don't buy into this garbage that you can trust Jesus as Savior, but you don't have to worry about him as Lord.
Mm.
That is a lie from the enemy to dichotomize Jesus Christ into a benevolent grandfather-like type figure that is okay with everything you do. And he's not. He died for what you do. He died for what I did. He died for our sins. So the fact that he, you know, people say, well, he doesn't care what I do. No, he does care what we do. He does care.
And Doug, why does he care? Why does he care?
He cares because it affects our witness of who he is. And the very fact that he just mentioned the prostitutes and the tax collectors, he's talking about a changed life. And we're going to see next week, not next week, but the week after when we get to the wedding feast, that in that passage over in Luke or Matthew 22, that he kicks out somebody from the wedding feast because they don't have on the right clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they could just do anything they wanted. No, Jesus accepts you for whatever you've done in the past, but he's not okay with you taking his grace and taking the forgiveness that he offers and then doing whatever you want and leading your own life apart from his leadership after he gives you that newness of life.
Yeah, Paul said, "What shall we say? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Not old life. The old life has been crucified. Walk in newness. Now, you've touched on it. I feel like we regularly beat that drum that we're not talking about perfection. Yeah, Christ wants perfection. He knows we don't have perfection outside of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But his perfection should transform us and our direction. So it's not about perfection. It's about direction.
And the whole idea of repentance is turning from trusting other things to trusting him. And if we love him, we will trust him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And Hebrews 9:27 says, and just as is it appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And then he goes over in chapter 10. And Brad, this is really sobering. And after this, maybe we can just unpack it just a little bit for people before we go off the air today of What does repentance look like for us in our culture and where we are now? But listen to this in Hebrews 10, verse 26. If we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy, on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, who has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he is sanctified and outraged the spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when you think about the fact that God allowed his son to be crucified, the most torturous, brutal way to die known really in the history of man. What do you think he's going to do with people who spurn that, who go, I don't need him. I don't care if he did that. It doesn't matter. You think that's bad? If he let his son deal with that, his judgment and his wrath. And so he gives us opportunities to turn every day. And I had a guy come up to me the other day and goes, hey, can you give me a good verse for what it means to repent? What is it? Like, I believe in Jesus and I trust him, but what about when I make mistakes now? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he will forgive our sin. And what that means, it's an ongoing confession. When he makes it aware, when we look in that mirror, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, program, when we look in the mirror and we see that we've not been following through, we've not been trusting him, we've not been appreciating him and loving him, when we get to that point and he reveals it, we just say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. It makes us appreciate that. And then we want to live for him.
You know, Doug, I've been so impacted over the last several years. And we studied the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And one of the ones that stands out to me just in our culture today is we don't mourn over sin. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of shrug it off and go, I made a mistake. You know, made a mistake. Everybody makes them. You know what I mean? And I just don't feel like we mourn over sin. We were talking about John MacArthur. He said, repentance needs to be as loud as the sin is or was. You know, think about the sin that we see in our day. Now, listen, sin is sin. It's a, you know, it violates God's standards. But the reality is our repentance should be reflected in the depth of our sin. We just don't think we're that bad.
Well, and see, that's part of the issue, is the tax collectors, the prostitutes were more ready to acknowledge their need for God's grace than these priests and elders who were steeped in the teaching. And think about it. John the Baptist didn't even give complete teaching. He was preaching repentance, but these people were in the presence of Christ, the Messiah, and they did not acknowledge. They were exposed to the light. And here's what the thing is. If you're out there and you're listening, and you are, if you seek the light, you're going to receive more if you're open to it. But when you close yourself off to the light, then what happens is God keeps trying to get your attention. He'll bring people into your life. And we're going to look at next week these messengers he brings into our life and how we respond to him. So my hope and prayer for you as you listen is that you won't be like the Pharisees and the religious people. You will acknowledge your need, come to the cross, and thank him, because it is a hope-giving thing, this cross that Jesus died on and the fact that he loves us enough to have gone there.
Well, looking forward to it, man. Hey, glad you joined us today here at SWAT Radio. We will be back. We've got a guest tomorrow.
Yeah. And Bob Grauman and Brian Doyle from Iron Sharpens Iron, and Jumpin' Jacks in the morning and tonight at Eastside Community Church, 13301 Beach Boulevard.
Good job, man. That's impressive. Yeah. So tonight, Eastside Community Church at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, 6:30, Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods. We're going to break open the Word of God.
Yep.
And you get some food, too.
Well, good breakfast pizza.
Good chow. Glad you joined us today. SWAT Radio, if you have a question or comment for us, we'd love to hear from you. ask@swatradio.com.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park.